by name for helping Joy and I paint and complete, almost complete our deck. But DeLon Potter, Jack Walton, Skip Barnt, Dave Carpenter, Dale Risden, Bill Kramer, Dan Williamson, and Josh Rabin all put a lot of work into building the structure and the roof. Cindy Shields, Althea Hodgett, Ed and Robin Smart, Pat Williamson all helped us with a lot of pre-painting these boards so we didn't have to paint up in the air. But I just would like to thank them all for all the work and the help that they did. Making good choices. Now, my main scripture this morning is James 5:1-5. But I'll be reading from James 1:1-8. And I'll be reading a lot of Proverbs and other scriptures. But emphasis is mainly on verse 5 of James 1. And my sermon today is more topical than expository. But you know, as I was prepping for this sermon, I noticed in one of my study Bibles, and by the way, you all better listen well today, because if you get hit with that one, it's a definite knockout. It'll leave a serious dent. But as I was reading in that, I was so impressed with an introduction that I want to read this to you. From fixing a car to wallpapering a bedroom, how-to books explain how things are done with helpful pointers and colorful illustrations. The Epistle of James is the how-to book of the Christian life. It is one of the most practical books in the New Testament because it offers instruction and exhortation to Christians who are experiencing problems, as all of us do. As if the trials themselves were not bad enough, James points out the dangers that come with them. Besides the obvious pitfall of failing to place our trust in the Lord and thus not enduring, James speaks of prejudice, improper speech, judging one another, leaving God out of our plans, and even bitterness. Like the author of a how-to book, James explains in a few words the responsibilities of a Christian while supplying apt illustrations from real-life categories such as shipping and horseback riding. James 1, verses 1 through 8. I'll be reading from New King James Version. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Every day, each of us is faced with numerous choices. From the moment you wake up, each day, life is composed of a series of decisions like, am I going to get up or am I going to let the alarm go again? If I get up, am I going to have breakfast first and stay in my pajamas? Or shall I get my shower? I mean, all day long, from start to finish, is filled with decisions. I think it is so important to have a plan for making good and wise choices and decisions. You see, we can't let emotions be our decision maker. A lot of times we just need to stop and pray and let God lead us in everything we do. A farmer hired a man to work for him, and he told him his first task would be to paint the barn. The farmer provided the paint and the tools and said it should take him about 3 days to complete. But the hired man was finished in 1 day. The farmer set him to cutting and splitting a large pile of wood, telling that it would require about 4 days. The hired man finished in a day and a half, and to the farmer's amazement, the wood was all cut, split, and stacked. So the next task was to sort out a large pile of potatoes. He was to arrange them into three piles: seed potatoes, food for the hogs, and potatoes that could go to market, that were good enough to sell. The farmer said it was a small job and shouldn't take long at all. At the end of the day, the farmer came back and found that the hired man had barely started. "What's the matter here?" the farmer asked. "Well," the guy said, "I can work hard, but I just can't make decisions." You see, decisions are something a lot of people never really think about. Yet the Bible is filled with verses about prayer and discovering God's will, especially in the book of Proverbs. I mean, if we follow a plan based on God's word and not our emotional desires and cravings, we'll make decisions wisely and avoid the difficulties and heartaches that come from wrong choices. Boy, I can tell you about some of those. However, many times we don't depend on the Lord for guidance when we have a decision to make. Since God is all-knowing, omniscient, shouldn't we come to for Him first when we're facing an uncertain decision? Yet oftentimes, what we do is we go to everybody else for advice or simply make up our own minds and do what we desire without regard to God's will for us. We may think we're smart enough to handle it ourselves, but I want to tell you, most of the time, we're not. The Lord is willing to give us direction and to answer our requests, but it might not be in the manner or the time that we desire. I mean, there's a few things we can do to prepare our minds and hearts to make good decisions. Number one, I think it's important that we clear our hearts of any known sin. Sin introduces confusion in our minds. It hindered us from receiving divine direction. The Bible is the record and mind of the heart of God. Those who heed it are wise, spirit-filled, and obedient. And they receive His guidance because they have an unhindered relationship with Him. Before we can hear from the Lord, though, we must clear out things in our life that cloud our thinking or that block His guidance. First of all, we should ask the Lord to show us if there's something sinful in our lives. That is something that's keeping us from hearing His truth. It could be a relationship, a habit, a thought pattern, anything that's contrary to God's will. I mean, the Holy Spirit is very faithful to point out whatever needs to be addressed. Next, confess that sin to God. And then repent. Big word. Strictly means to turn away from the sin because it doesn't belong in our lives. And we should have a desire to live in obedience to God. I mean, that can be a real battle when our desire for a particular course of action is strong. And as human beings, we usually have the most difficult time with sex, money, and the desire to feel pleasure. However, if we want to receive God's guidance, we must be willing to yield our preferences to Him and say, "I want to know what You want me to do." The first time we voice these words, we might not actually mean them because our thoughts are still focused on what we want. However, God hears that kind of prayer, and we can trust Him to guide us if we keep coming to Him. and bring our heart and mind into a neutral position of acceptance of what He desires. What role does the Lord play in your decision making? Philippians 4:6 says that in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. While our hearts and minds might be tempted to follow our natural desires, when we come to God for everything, we're reminded of His goodness and His ability to handle anything that comes our way. We usually start to find it easier to trust Him and to follow His guidance as He leads us. Prime Minister Herbert Asquin once spent a weekend at the Waddleston estate of the 19th century Rothschild family. One day, as Asquith was being waited on at tea by the butler, the following conversation ensued. "Tea, coffee, or a peach from off the wall, sir?" "Tea, please," said Lord Asquith. "China, India, or Ceylon, sir?" "China, please." "Lemon, milk, or cream, sir?" "Milk, please," replied Asquith. "Jersey, Holstein, or Guernsey?" asked the butler. Decisions, decisions, decisions. But again, I repeat, don't let your emotions be your decision maker. When you hit a tough decision, stop and pray. Let God lead you. He could change everything. Think of some of the classic bad decisions that have happened. Let's start right off with Adam and Eve in the garden. Samson, David, Jonah, Peter. Now, some of those decisions had terrible consequences. Some turned out pretty good because God tends to use some of our stupidity and mistakes. It's important that we take the time needed to pray and consult God. Boy, we're a culture that thinks we're always pressed for time. Busyness is one of Satan's tools to keep us from taking the time to seek God's will. The world pressures with schedules, trying to always keep us busy. And Satan, the father of lies, has a whole toolbox of things that can keep us distracted. Greed, malice, anger, hatred, pride, envy, disappointment, discouragement, procrastination, obsessive desire for pleasure, and busyness. We're our culture of me, 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 and I think it's important that we stay aware of the schemes of the devil so we can break those bonds. We need to slow down, pray, seek God's will, and now the hard part, wait. You know, as I was thinking, as I was reading James 1:1-8, I noticed that it talked about patience. But if you backtrack the scripture, what creates patience? Trials. Oh, boy. So if you ever say, boy, there's a really patient person, give them a lot of respect. They've probably been through a lot of trials. Now, I have 10 important questions that I want you to ask yourself when you think about this subject. What biblical principles should inform my decision? Well, Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." And Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your way path straight." And Philippians 4:8, one of my favorites. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Secondly, do I have all the facts? He who gives an answer before he hears it is folly and shame to him, according to Proverbs 18:13. And Proverbs 18:17 says, the first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. Don't fall prey to wishful thinking and let your emotions get the best of you. Is the pressure of time forcing me to make a premature decision? Proverbs 19:2 says, also it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who makes haste with his feet errs. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plan of the diligent leads surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty surely comes to poverty. Don't let the fear of missing out drive your decisions. What possible motives are driving your decisions? Proverbs 16 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. And Proverbs 20, verse 9 says, who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from sin? I mean, honestly assess your motives, both good and bad, and give trusted others the permission to speak into your life. How should past experiences inform my decision? Proverbs 26:11 says, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. And Proverbs 17:10 says, a rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. In other words, learn from your mistakes. You know, as we look at our government and the state of our country, we wonder, haven't we learned from these mistakes before? Why are we destined to keep repeating some of this folly? Number six, what is the collective counsel of my church community? Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. Proverbs 18:11, he who separates himself seeks his own desires. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. I mean, you've got to know when it's time to open the circle and let those godly, trusted people speak into your life. Number seven, have I honestly considered the warning signs? Proverbs 10:17 says, he is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who forsakes reproof goes astray. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but in the end, the way is death. Remember, God's way is always the best way. God's way leads to blessing. Sometimes our way leads to curses. Number eight, have I considered the possible outcomes of whatever course of action I am going to choose? Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. And Proverbs 14:15, the naive believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. I mean, that's telling us, assess the potential risks. Number nine, could this decision jeopardize my integrity or hinder my witness for the Lord? Proverbs 25:26 says, like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Proverbs 10:9, he who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. Proverbs 20:7, a righteous man who walks in his integrity. Oh, how blessed are his sons after him. We could add daughters. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is desired more than great riches. Favor is better than silver and gold. I mean, ask yourself, would your decision pass the newspaper test? Some of you are wondering, what in the heck is the newspaper test? That's as if your decision was posted on the front page of the newspaper, would it bless you? Would it bless others? And number 10, is there a better option that would allow me to make a whole lot greater impact for the kingdom of God? Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Ask yourself this, what story could God be writing in your life right now? If you let him help you make your decisions and guide your path, what story might he be writing? I mean, don't assume because something is hard that it's not God's will. A lot of times he will challenge us quite harshly to keep us on the right path or get us on the right path. And understand how God has uniquely gifted and resourced you. I mean, I heard a funny story once that when you call God, it's a long distance call. But if you call from Montana, it's a local call. But the principle there is call him. Okay. Now, for those of you who have been taking any notes, and I've been going kind of fast, there's a lot of proverbs there. I've got one for you, though, that you may want to jot down. Do you want to hear from God? Okay. Think about that. Do you want to hear from God? Now, I'm going to give you one of the greatest secrets for hearing from God directly. This is something everyone should know. Get your pen ready. Read your Bible out loud. And you're going to hear God's word. Again, I ask, what role does the Lord play in your decision making? While our hearts and minds might be tempted to follow our natural desires and emotions, we need to come to God for everything. We need to be reminded constantly of his goodness and his ability to handle anything we can come against. Stop and pray. Slow down. God's Word and the Holy Spirit are leading and should guide every decision, every choice we make. Trust him. Trust him and follow his guidance. He will lead the way. Praise team, I think we have a closing song.
What these guys said, Toddy, the whole congregation is going to sing it like normal. I'm going to do a little vamp after each verse, so just kind of flow with it and see how it goes. All right.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's close our time together in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are a source of wisdom for us. Life is confusing. Life is troubling. Life is difficult. And it's hard to make those decisions. It's hard to know who to trust and who to listen to and where to go and what to follow. Thank you, Lord, for being our rock in the midst of that. Thank you, Lord, for inviting us to ask you. Thank you for being a God who gives generously without finding fault. Thank you for a God who keeps your promises. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given him a gift that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever.